No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show, which will try to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, former United States Senator Michael D. Brown, calling from Washington, D.C. I'm sorry, I'm a little sick today. Washington, D.C., the nation's last colony. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Liberty Jones, and we are putting forth our show to inform America what's going on, because it's time to make America think again. And tonight we have a very special guest in Caden McElwain. Caden is a college student from Ohio who's autistic and is on he's an activist, and he's on a campaign to debunk this nonsense that Robert Kennedy, the man with the worm brain, is putting out there that vaccinations cause autism. And in the midst of everything that's going on today with measles and everything else, we think this is a really, really important discussion, and we're really happy to have him with us today. Caden, welcome to the show, and Liberty, thanks so much for being on with me again. Caden, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Caden, can we start just by having you give us an explanation of what autism is? I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what it is, and can you just explain a little bit to us?
Yeah, absolutely. Autism is basically a spectrum. Where I'm at, I'm on the high side, where I'm incredibly intelligent, but I have trouble with communication and social skills. If there are people on the lower side of the spectrum that can't walk, can't talk, and have to be taken care of the rest of their lives.
Well, and you know, I think one of the misunderstandings is that people with autism are not particularly bright, and that's not true. I've known a lot of autistic kids in my life, and they've just been amazing. You are a college student, a junior at a good university, and I understand you're a good student. Is that right?
Yes, sir. 5 consecutive dean's lists and counting.
Okay, well, you're a better student than I was then. Probably not a better student than Liberty Jones, though, huh? Liberty, you got something to add?
Oh. I'm not too sure. 5 consecutive dean lists is very impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And Caden, tell us what your crusade is. What do you want America to know about autism, and what do you want America to know about vaccinations?
Those two things don't go together at all. That conspiracy theory has been proven wrong multiple times before.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to stop them, though, does it? Recently, we heard President Trump give a speech to Congress in where he said that autism cases have gone up from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 36, which is not true. Is that's not true, is it?
I do agree we're seeing more acknowledgement of autism in society, but I doubt the cases are up. The only reason we're seeing that is because a lot of those people were too afraid to reveal their diagnoses because of the stigmas and ignorance surrounding autism.
Yeah, there is a lot of ignorance around autism. And, Liberty, jump in here with an amazing question. I have the flu today, folks, so I'm a little slow on the uptake, but that's why I have my amazing co-host to fill in for me. Go ahead, Liberty, say something brilliant.
I'm so happy to be here, Caden, and thank you so much for coming on. It's so important to hear your story, and it's so meaningful what you're doing, how you're empowering a voice out there. My question to you is, you say, you know, there's a lot of stigmas out there. You know, I've, from an exterior perspective, I see a lot of disequality, inequality, lack of representation and misunderstandings. But, you know, from you who really suffers through it, goes through it and has that experience to be better than what the world assumed of you, what are some of those stigmas out there that you think were hardest for you to overcome?
I would definitely say that autistic individuals aren't too bright and they have to end up in group homes. That one was definitely hard for me to come by. It's hard for me still, quite frankly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, let me ask you, what kind of reception are you getting, Caden, when you're out there talking to people about autism? Are people interested in this? Are they concerned about this issue?
Hello?
What are you getting?
I'm getting a lot of praise, a lot of talk about how inspiring I am, and I hear from parents all the time who actually have kids on the spectrum, and I do get some ignorance, but that's just life, and that applies to any issue, but I've read it off that people don't want to hear my message. That's on them, not me.
Yeah. Well, that's important, right? And I'm glad you're getting a lot of praise. I'm glad a lot of people are responding to you. And I think that's really important. Like I said earlier, I've known several autistic kids in my life. My wife's a teacher. They've all been amazing people. And that's really what we need, right? We really need to get people connected with autistic kids, with autistic people, so that they understand what the problem is, right?
I absolutely agree.
And you seem to be right on top of it. So how are you received at school? You go to a good school in Ohio. My brother was president of a college in Ohio, so we love Ohio. But how are you received at school? People good to you at school? Do you feel accepted? And are there special accommodations made for you?
For the special accommodations, yes, I get testing accommodations mainly. For example, extended time on tests. In the sense of respect, a lot of the students respected me when I was in person, and I had a really close relationship with my professors. I do still, but I actually decided to go online for these last 2 years of college to save a little bit of money and to get away from the environment on campus, because it's my belief that if you're spending hundreds upon thousands of dollars in student loan debt on tuition, you should focus exclusively on academics, not necessarily partying or anything else.
Well, Liberty, let me ask you, you're in college as well. Are there many autistics? Do you run into autistic students at your school?
You know, for me, that's a really hard question to answer. I believe there is, but I am not too aware because I don't think my school is as obvious about that situation. So unless, you know, I'm meeting someone and they're telling me, I'm not too aware. I also think the environment we have in DC is, I think, at the complete end of the scale of respect. And so I feel in DC, the political interaction we have is trying so hard to make everyone feel accepted and understood, despite their differences and despite, you know, their battles. So it's really hard for me to know if there are a lot. But I have to ask you, Caden, do you think that's been your experience in Ohio? Has that been your experience at home? You know, like, as a voice of inspiration to those out there who face their own struggles in accepting their own differences and being accepted for them, you know, how does that feel for you? How has that affected you? And what have you learned from that? Has there been an indifference or have you been well accepted?
I've definitely been well accepted in both environments.
Because I know that. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. The big thing I've been working on personally is self-acceptance. True.
I know that a lot of times college is tough, and you know, I agree with you. I think the number one most important thing is staying connected to what you believe is true, and that's why it's so inspirational to have you on here tonight to speak on the power of indifference and how much it can lead you to achieve, right? And that's what we're doing. We're making people think again about the importance of speaking their voice and owning their truth.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I'm not too familiar with autism, but I feel like as many disabilities, I think the biggest issue is people trying to make you feel different, because that causes a division, you know, like the divisions we see in our day to day. It's really important to accept each other for how we are.
Well, and isn't that really the crux of the problem here for us on a wider scale? Exactly what Liberty just said. The narrative that's being put out there about vaccinations and autism is really an attempt to scare us about vaccinations, is it not? And we see, unfortunately, that it's working. We're seeing in Texas right now that you've got 200 cases of measles. You've had two people die from measles, both unvaccinated. A third person in New Jersey who just died is suspected of being unvaccinated and dying of measles. So that's what the whole narrative is about. It's really not about autism as much as it is about scaring parents about having your children vaccinated. Now, Kennedy, I want your opinion of what Robert F. Kennedy is doing, Caden. What do you think?
I've been so horrible. If he truly cared about autism, he'd invest his possessing the power and his resources into making colleges more accommodating, making workplaces more likely to hire autistic individuals, because research has shown people on the spectrum are extremely hard workers. And yes, not only that, and this is a thing that no one is talking about in the political spectrum right now, I really don't think RFK Jr. has the right to talk about autism the way he does when his own family has their own history with that kind of stuff, more specifically the Rosemary Kennedy thing.
Yeah, and I think it's particularly interesting that he even has a member of his own family. I mean, his aunt, who was, now I don't think she was autistic, I don't know, but she had some mental disability or some challenge, and she was institutionalized her whole life. So you think that it seems that the members of his family have always been particularly sensitive to people with problems, right? His aunt his aunt created Special Olympics. You know, the Kennedys have always been particularly sensitive to people that have challenges. And it makes it really, really disheartening that he's not. But he wrote today in a op-ed on Fox, of course, that wonderful news station, that he believes that vaccinations for measles, mumps and rubella, which are what I think is required to go to school here in the district. I think all my kids were required to have that vaccination to go to school. And he says it's a good thing and that we should be doing that for the first time. And that's really amazing. So I think what we need to say is that people like you, Caden, are out there making a difference. You're making people understand this, and you're giving pushback, which is changing the narrative. So you should be very proud of yourself, young man, that you're doing that.
Thank you, sir.
Let me ask you, Autism Speaks, a national group that is about autism awareness and help for autistic people, is doing a nationwide conference called Empower 25. Are you going to be involved in that?
Well, I have been trying to improve my time management skills and focus exclusively on school and the improving my resume for networking and looking for internships, but we'll see.
Yeah, you know, it's in Columbus, Ohio, which can't be too far away from you. I mean, Ohio's a big state, but can't be too far away from you on May 9th and 10th. So it's coming right up, and they're looking for speakers, and I think you should go there and speak. And because I think it's important to hear from people like you, and, you know, I think that we need to all understand that we need to put science above all this nonsense that's out there, this narrative that's out there, and we need to accept the science and go with the science, because that's what heals people, right? And now we're in this kind of hysterical stage where everybody believes there's too much medicine, there's too much this, there's too much that out there, and we're not paying attention. And that, just, I don't want to digress here, but Liberty and I are about to start a new show, and that's what it's all about. It's all about making America think. We're not going to tell mm-hmm. you to vote for. We're just going to bring on people like Caden to tell you what is, so that you can make appropriate decisions. Go ahead, Caden. What do you want to say that we haven't asked you?
Well, there's one bit of advice I always give to autistic individuals who want to go on these programs. That's simply embrace who you are. You're amazing as you are. If people don't see that, don't give them the time of day. Everyone's missing out on an amazing person.
Well, I'm only amazing because Liberty Jones makes me amazing. Go ahead.
And same to you, Senator Brown.
Oh, come on. You're just blowing sunshine on my skirt. You're not getting a raise. Go ahead.
You know, Caden, that's some beautiful, beautiful words of advice. And it's so hard to figure that lesson out in life. You know, it seems a lot of times the world is against you. And there's a lot of division out there, a lot of pain out there. You know, to you, what are your next steps in this fight? You know, how do you think the world will better realize to appreciate their own differences and the differences of others? From your experience, what do you think we need out there? How do we help these people think and come to that conclusion?
I think we need more unity. That's the big thing we need in this country currently. More unity and realizing that we're all the same. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We all need help with something. And that's a very hard thing to realize. And I talk from my own personal experience here that my son, who's a very smart young man, had a learning problem. He was dyslexic. Well, he barely made it through high school because they weren't sensitive to it. And then he went to a good four-year university where they dealt with people like him, and he graduated top of his class in 4 years. So, you know, all it takes is a little understanding and a little acceptance and knowing what to do, right? And knowing how to help each other, and we can resolve many of these problems.
I absolutely agree.
Well, there you go. I mean, you're a very agreeable guy. So tell me, what do you want to do? Liberty wants to know what your next steps are, but I want to know what you're going to do when you graduate from college. What do you want to be? What do you want
to? Ideally, I want to work with an autism organization of some sort, but I'm not sure. Yeah, this week I'm going to make a couple different plans, see which one works the best. But my top three career choices are an autism organization, politics, or possibly IT. I've been taking some tech classes, and everything seems to be going technological these days. But for now, I definitely want to focus on school and finish off my degree before anything else.
So do you think, Caden, do you think AI holds some promise for us in with dealing with things like autism?
I absolutely think so. I've tested out an application that utilizes AI to help autistic individuals learn social skills, and that has been extremely helpful.
Well, let me just tell you, Caden, that in my lifetime, I've given a lot of advice on employment to young people, and sometimes they've taken it and it's worked out. So let me say to you, I don't think we've ever had an autistic member of Congress. So maybe you ought to consider that.
That's a really good idea. We had an autistic mayor or somewhere, but as far as I know, we've never had an autistic member of Congress, an autistic member of Senate, or an autistic president.
Or an autistic president. Right. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know you wanted to skip right from college to president, but, you know, so be it. No, if you ever need a volunteer campaign manager, here I am. I think that you're an amazing young man, and I think that you should remain. When you say you want to continue to advocate for autism, I think you should, and you should know, because I spent my life in politics, that it's a really, really great way, in my opinion, to make a living. You can earn a living at it, and you can help people, and you can make the world a better place. And so it's a win-win-win-win. And right now, I'm working on trying to groom Liberty to be the first woman president of the United States. But I could spare a little time for you as well, I think.
Thank you, sir. I'll absolutely let you know.
Okay.
Liberty Jones. I'll see you in the Oval Office, Caden.
Before you become president, do you have anything to say?
Keep spreading positivity.
You know, vote for liberty. We all need liberty. I mean, it's a great campaign slogan. Come on.
I absolutely agree.
Okay. Well, I'm Caden. Thanks so much for being with us. Liberty and I are going to go right now. We have some things to discuss, but we want to have you back on the show. And I hope that you'll go to the Empower 25 if you contact those people, because they're looking for people to speak. And I think you're an amazing speaker, and you should do that. And then when you go, come back on the show and tell us what it was like.
I'll let you know. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thank you so much
for being. I'm sorry, Liberty. Go ahead.
I wish you the best of luck, Caden. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thank you. And folks, Liberty and I we're changing the format of the show. It's going to change next week. We wanted to work on it this week, but unfortunately I've been sick, and we wanted to get Caden on because we thought it was an important voice. But next week we're going to start spending a little more time with the two of us just discussing the stuff that we've heard and discussing what's gone on in the week, you know, because really I think we need to make America think again. We don't need to be great again. We've always been great. We just need to remember who we are. Right? Donald Trump is nothing more than a two-bit symbol rigger. He's a three-card Monte hustler. We believe what he has to say for two reasons, I think. One, because the Democrats aren't putting up reasonable opposition to the things he says. And two, because it's what we want to hear. He plays to our prejudices. This is the oldest political trick in the book, to say the problem is not you, the problem is your neighbor. The problem is not you, the problem is government. The problem is not you, the problem is your circumstance. So he says those things and we believe it, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
And you know, the worst part is that's exactly what he's doing. He's problematizing all of our surroundings.
Yeah.
And how are we able to fully empower ourselves without feeling a sense of comfort and protection and safety around us, you know, with so much division being incited? You know, it's not you, it's your neighbor. Don't look at yourself. Look at what he's right. doing. Without being able to look at ourselves, we're not able to empower ourselves. We're not able to think. We're not able to unite because we're looking elsewhere. And I think that's one of the greatest issues we're seeing right now is the lack of acceptance that all of this problematization is causing, the lack of appreciation. You know, a seed, I'm going to make a little analogy, but a seed grows when you water it, not when you put thunder over it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, now I'm a Star Wars freak, and I don't know if people from your generation, because the movie's so old, if you're familiar with it. But in Star Wars, they do a thing called the Jedi mind trick, where the Jedi takes over your mind and he tells you something and you believe it. And that's all I see in Trump, him saying, these are not, you know, Elon Musk is not the droid you're looking for, right? But they're not really eating your cats and dogs, but... You know, and we dismiss all these crazy things. He says the stock market is in a dumper. He's been forced to hire people back that he had to fire. And he says, on the one hand, that he's going to go in there with a scalpel and reform government. And then he has that idiot stand up there with the, well, he's not an idiot. He's brilliant, but he's crazy. Stand up there with the chainsaw. Go ahead.
You know, the last time I saw this much reform in the United States, this much activity in changing what we had currently, was honestly during the civil right, the American Civil War, American Civil War era. And it reminds me a lot of Frederick Douglass. You know, he spoke a lot about the power of persuasion. He said, how are we celebrating the 4th of July when we still have slaves? And that, to me, is so reflective on what we're currently going through. The persuasion we're seeing is so hard to navigate through and to understand. And it's really disappointing because he's throwing all of these spears at us. He's reforming every single sector. He rebranded the entire institution that we currently had in place. As a young person, I'm not too sure if it's effective or it's not. You know, I'm really hoping for the best. But I ask you, who's very, very, very educated on this environment and on experiencing the effects of making decisions like this, do you think that a complete, you know, 180, revamping all of these things so fastly, do you think that's effective? Because to me, for the public table to chew down all of that activity, there has to be a level of persuasion, which makes me believe what Frederick Douglass said, like, is there something else going on that we're not aware of? To you, do you think that it's more effective than not?
Well, first of all, let me tell you that I think you're right in your insight, but I think also think you're smarter than the average young person. And since you brought up, before I answer your question, since you brought up Frederick Douglass, who's, one of my many mentors, let me remind the Democrats what Frederick Douglass also said, that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. And so being out there capitulating, guys, telling the president, yeah, we'll scrub down the street and we'll get rid of Black Lives Matter. Yeah, we'll do this. Yeah, we'll do that. Kissing his rear end is not going to get us anywhere. There's only one way to stand up to a bully. Liberty Jones brought it up. Frederick Douglass said it. The only way to stand up to him is to stand up to him. So let's start standing up to him. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're right, Liberty. I think that we can't just, you know, there's an old expression. My grandmother used to use it all the time. I know that you have great respect for your grandmother, and I had great respect for my grandmother, two wise women. And my grandmother used to always say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, and right? And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. When you get rid of USID, you know, and then to lie about it, to say that they're spending millions of dollars for transgender mice, implying that we're spending millions of dollars to do sex change operations on mice, when the truth of the matter is they're making mice for experimental research. It's a special type of mouse, and it's not a transgender mouse. You know, it's a mouse that they prepare for certain types of research. You know, to lie to Americans so that what they want will fit whatever narrative they want to put out there, I think is misleading us to believe the opposite of what you said, that we really need to throw a monkey wrench in everything and destroy everything and rebuild it. And if you destroy everything and rebuild it, and you're the rebuilder, then you get to be in control of everything. And that's what it's all about. Bill Maher said it last week. Somebody on his show, I can't remember who it was, said that a member of Congress said, he is just rebuilding the world for billionaires. He just wants to, he wants to turn the United States into what the Soviet Union is, a Disneyland for oligarchs. And we can't let that happen. So tell me, what's the mood on campus? How do people feel? I don't know how many young people voted for Donald Trump. Too many is my feeling. But what do people on campus, do you run into a lot of Trumpers at your school?
You know, I think that on the college campus nowadays, people are so scared. We've been so, that's exactly the issue though. I want to go back to what you said about how the people, if they demand change, we will see it happen. The people aren't demanding change because of how heavily persuaded we are. And that's exactly the issue, Senator Brown. I walk around these college campuses in DC with the majority of my school studying political science, and I rarely hear someone being open about whether they are a Trump supporter or not, because of the fear of going against what they want us to believe, because of this fear that liberals are too extreme, because that's what's been ingrained to them, you know? So people are scared to talk to each other. And I think the role that I found is most important to play in these situations is to always have open ears, no matter what someone is jumping towards. Because I think nowadays it's so easy to either be the very heavily affected liberal, the very ready to jump at any lack of understanding, and also to be the heavily influenced and persuaded Trump supporter who's gonna see a liberal and assume that they're gonna attack them. And you know, that's the biggest issue right now, is that we're not listening to each other. And I think the most important thing is to not take that persuasion. And what is most comical to me about this entire scenario that I'm in, you know, as a college student seeing this division, is honestly the fact that the most radical people are exactly the same. Maybe the policies at their core are different, but the most radical people are very similar. You know, they have a really great flaw, which is that they're not listening to each other. And if you're not able to have an open mind, how are you able to learn anything? So we really need America to think again. And I wish, honestly, as a Democrat, I never assumed I'd be saying this, because it's not like he's my favorite person in the world, but I wish I could see more Republicans out there, because I love what the Republican branch stands for. I just wish that Republicans were able to look beyond the clickbait that's being fed to them, Democrats as well, and really just accept our country and its government as constitutional, and not allow such, I have so much to say on this, but I feel like what's going on is unconstitutional. And I feel like the most passionate people about politics right now are persuaded instead of standing their ground and seeing that it's unconstitutional and demanding change. We're not doing that. We're being persuaded, and it's dividing us. It's making us ignorant. And I think as a college student, the professors are really trying to defy that reality that we're seeing.
Well, I got to tell you, I know you know, I think you're wonderful, but you consistently amaze me with how well you get it, because I agree with you 100%. We don't listen to each other, and the people are the same on the same. You're right. They're exactly the same, liberals and conservatives, except they have a different agenda. They have a different agenda, but the people themselves are the same. And as we don't listen, as they don't listen to us, we don't listen to them either. And we make it easy for them, don't we? We allow them to take an issue like transgender sports. Now, I don't think there's anybody that believes that if Dennis Rodman has a sex change operation, he should be able to play in the WNBA. But the truth of the matter is, there's only a handful of athletes in the whole country that would fall into this category. In Michigan, they had in Wisconsin, they had the senator on today, and she said that they have a very open policy about transgenders in sports. They leave it up to the state to decide. And in all the in the entire state, they've only had two cases. But we allowed the Republicans to seize this narrative, and instead of saying, hey, look, this really isn't an issue, and yes, maybe we have to work it out because we believe that transgender people should be treated well. Maybe there are details that we have to work out, but it's really not an issue. Instead of that, we stood up and we said, oh, hell no. Yeah, let them in every locker room. Let them do without understanding the way the American people felt. And by the same token, when Republicans, you know, look, I'm a Christian. I believe in a woman's right to choose. I believe in a woman that a woman has a right to control her own body. I believe that if men needed to get abortions, they'd be available at any ATM. I believe that, you know, that this is a woman's right. But I also understand why it bothers some Christians. I understand it. And we need to do that. We need to say, okay, we have differences. Let's sit down and talk about them, right? And you're right. The framework that holds it all together is the Constitution. But they're trying to change that framework now, aren't they? So tell me, there, college student, how do you feel about the future? How do you feel about your ability to get a job and do what you want to do in life and have a home and raise a family or whatever else you want to do? What do you think your prospects are? Do you look at the future with great hope, or do you worry about it?
You know, Senator Brown, that is a great question. And I must say, you make me feel very hopeful about the future, because you make me believe that there are people out there who are really pushing for good morale, who are really pushing for inclusion, and for what the government should be, which is representation, you know, of the public. It's just a form of governing. That's what the word is, instead of a game, that an attention-seeking game. And I think that's the biggest, I'm worried. I'm very worried about my future, because as international countries see the same, I don't believe that I can confide in the current government infrastructure that I see in this world. And I think other countries are looking to the U.S. and feeling the exact same. You know, there's a level of unreliability when we have someone come into office and do the exact opposite as the last president. And to me, I'm reaping the effects of that lack of reliability, that lack of, you know, continuity. And I have no idea what to expect. You know, 4 years ago, I was like, okay, maybe I'm going to buy a house. Today, I'm like, okay, we're saving every single cent. When are we walking the dogs for $20? Because what am I going to do in 10 years if I can't buy a house? So it's really unexpected. That's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like it's unexpected. I'm feeling like maybe the best bet is to go on Instagram and see what's most attention-seeking happening in the press today, which is how other people are living their lives right now. And that's a really sad place to be, you know. I think I'm really demoralized about what's to come, but that's what makes me the most hopeful, because I know my peers are going through the same realizations, and I know that You said it yourself. If the public sees an issue, they will demand for change. And if that's not happening right now, when worst comes to worst, we will demand that change. And, you know, there are a lot of changes happening, not for the better. So I'm sure that hopefully we'll be able to raise our voices and fix things if we aren't able to buy that house, you know?
Well, first of all, let me say it's sad because when I got out of college, I didn't have any doubt that I would have a good job, that I would be able to board a house if I wanted to, that I'd be, you know, I found my first job in the newspaper. My kids laugh about that. I found my first job in a law firm when I got out of college in the newspaper. And, you know, it's just,
wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I never had any doubts of it. And it's sad to hear this. And I know with my own children who are now all grown adults, they feel exactly the same way. And I hope that you have figured out my secret agenda, which is to inspire brilliant young people like you to get involved in government so that we can do exactly what you just said, because that's what we need. You know, on top of the archives is the inscription, all it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. So if the good people in the world don't stand up and change it, it'll never change. So that's my secret agenda, is to, you know, someday when you're changing the world, to be able to sit back and say, "Oh, I helped inspire her to do that." And I expect that of you and many other young people. And I can tell you, if you're an old person like me and you're not out there interacting with young people, you should be, because they will restore your faith. There are plenty of young people out there, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more in touch with them, but I feel there are plenty of young people out there that are activated, motivated, brilliant, kind people that want to make a better world for everybody. Do you feel that?
You know, I do, Senator Brown. And I owe that all to people like you, genuinely, because the difference in our generation is we were the first generation to be connected to online. So we saw all of the pain the entire world was feeling. You know, being able to see all of that pain makes you feel inspired to create change. And people like you who give the hope for that possibility are the most important people in our society. Really, wow. Truly, because it's one thing to see all the pain and be hopeless about it. And it's another thing to see all the pain and feel that there is a better tomorrow.
Well, and thank you for saying that. But also the point you make, we were the first generation to have television. And that's why the Vietnam War ended, because mothers got tired of seeing their sons come home in body bags. That's how the civil rights movement moved forward, because people got tired of seeing college students knocked down with fire hoses and having dogs sicked on them and little girls dying in bombed out church basements. They brought that all into our home. So I hope you're right that bringing the world that the internet and our ability to interact around the world will bring us closer together. I hope that's the truth. And you know, but you said something a few weeks ago that really is the crux of everything, Liberty, and that is that it's all about empathy. I don't think that many of the people that we see now in power, in government, I don't think they have empathy. You know, they talk about it all the time. We talk about all we want to do for people. You have a man that stands up and says that veterans are the most, you know, are the people that should be most supported in our society, something I agree with. But then, in a candid moment, refers to dead veterans as suckers and losers. He's just fired 6,000 veterans from the Veterans Administration. You know, we got to stop just talking the talk. We got to feel the pain of other people and accept it and work to make it better, don't we? And that's what our show's going to be about, folks. Liberty and I aren't going to tell you who to vote for. We're not going to tell you how to feel. We just want to tell you, we just want to give you the facts, because I think we both agreed that it's time to make America think again. We've been conned. These people are not going to make America better. The gas prices aren't going down. Egg prices aren't going down. We've just started a fight with our best, you know, who starts a fight with the Canadians, for God's sakes? Have you ever been to Canada? They're like the nicest people on the planet. And we're starting a fight with them. We're starting a fight with Mexico. We're starting a fight with Greenland. We're starting a fight with Panama. This is not the way to proceed. And we should know that by now. And it's time for us to stand up and talk. We don't need to tell you who to vote for. We don't need to tell you how to feel. We just want you to know what you're doing. So I would say Shadow Politics, 7 p.m. on Sundays. Be there or be unaware. What do you think, Liberty? You think we can do it?
I am absolutely sold. I think, you know, this is the future. I'm sold. Shadow Politics, I will be there, Senator Brown.
Okay. Well, you heard it. And with a team like this, I don't see how we can lose. So we're on a mission to make America think, and I think we can do it. And we'll see you next week, folks. And, you know, we dedicate with a new format, if Liberty and I have time to work on it this week, with a new format and some new guests. Tonight we leave you with a song that says it all to me. When you think about autistic people, think about bright students like Caden. Listen to the words of this song, because I think it's really poignant. You know, I've often said, Liberty, that anything I ever learned of consequence, I learned from a Broadway musical. So this is from The Greatest Show, The Greatest Showman. Here's the song, This Is Me. See you next week. See you, Liberty. Thanks.
See you. Thank you.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their